Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, February 14th, 2022. It is the 45th day of the year. And as always, we're grateful to everyone who's choosing to join us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org. If you go there and click the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can get started in this learning process. You can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You can download the actual worksheet process itself, which is described as in a narrative form in that book, the Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Chapter 24. That's a tool I've been using for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and help me turn any negative emotional state into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the reality management worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often because it frequently stirs the pot. It stirs up questions, comments, testimonials, refutations, requests for help in using the worksheet process itself. And if you have any of those, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1, and it'll put the icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. Alternatively, you can send us an email, especially if you're listening to this through the archives, and the show isn't live at the time that you're listening to it. You can send me an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And when I receive those emails and I address them on the air and have a discussion about it, and if time and energy permits, I will then return the email and let you know what date we address that comment or question. You can also email Jeannie at jeannie at whyagain.org. So, we are working our way through the Way of Mastery this year, beginning on January 10th. And so, you know, for the last 35 days or so, we've been reading slowly and carefully through multiple readings of Lesson 1 and multiple readings of Lesson 2, and we are partway through Lesson 3. And I thought I would open up today and ask if anybody had comments or questions before I started reading further into Lesson 3, since it's such a dense book. The Way of Mastery is it states very clearly that its goal is nothing less than helping anybody who hears these words or reads these words to discover, to tap into, and to begin to birth access, direct conscious awareness to the mind of Christ within themselves. And that's the purpose of this teaching, of this pathway, of the series of books and letters, teachings, darshans that are called the Christ Mind Path. I'll remind us all that we can go to Christ Mind, all one word, christmind.info, and get access to the Course in Miracles in a couple different versions, An Impersonal Life, the book by Joseph S. Benner, The Way of the Servant, The Way of Mastery, the Yeshua Letters. They may not all be there, but all of these things are intending to give the student who's interested the tools he or she can use to tap directly into a higher mind. So you don't need to hold any person outside of you in reverence or as an expert or as your guide or as your savior. That the purpose of the Way of Mastery and the Christ Mind Pathway is to help individual sparks of awareness, of which you are one, develop, become aware of, develop, and step into acceptance of and active use of your connection to the Christ Mind, to the higher mind, to the divine mind. And so, how's it working so far? We are, you know, we've gone, as I mentioned, several times into the reading of Lesson 1 and Lesson 2, and we ended at the top of page 36 in Lesson 3, just 12 pages into that lesson. So how is it, what's it stirring up for people? Give me a comment or a question before we read the last few pages of Lesson 3. What's getting stirred up for you as you listen to the reading and the commentary? 563-999-3581. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Dr. Tim. There have been several things that I've wanted to talk to you about, but I've been listening in the middle of the night. What a productive way to have a bout of insomnia. I listen, and I should have a notebook by my bed. But one thing that has been a real consolation for quite a while, and I can't remember where it was in the book, but Yeshua said something like, when you think of me, you are...
You're only as far away as the width of a thought.
Yeah.
You're only as far away as the width of a thought. And please remember, he says right after that, you choose that thought.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to just listen again, because that's just one thing that popped to mind. But I'll do my number one again and then push it again if something else comes to mind and carry on. I've been loving what you've been doing. I think probably other people are loving it too. And I'm finding I'm using certain things, like in my Pilates class, at the end of my class when we're all exhausted and lying on our backs, I'm apt to read, like I read the thing about forgiveness this morning, just the definition of noting that whatever I've thought about that person are my projections, and that needs forgiving. And I think everybody's mind was quite blown, and I've failed to mention even the source of it, but I often read some short thing, and the Way of Mastery is just full of things like that to use. So it's a nice way of having people's minds, their bodies are exhausted, so they're in a receptive state, I figure. And I've asked people, how do you like these little tiny meditations at the end? And they don't talk, they just raise their thumbs in the air because we're all muted except for me. So it's totally rich. I feel as if it's got healing qualities built into the reading. And the way you're doing it, with all of the years of the experience you've had with living with it, it's like you've become another channel for the same messages. So that's my opinion, and I bet a lot of other people feel the same.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling that. We'll let others... people speak for themselves if they choose to, but it is at this stage something that I'm doing because I've been called to do it. So, you know, I'll keep doing it even if nobody decides to chime in. However, it's nice to hear that it's resonating with you as it is with others. Here's the point, is that each person... And they talk about this in the blog post that I read from JM. Everybody who hears these words is going to create their own meaning for them, right? And so it's going to land on people very differently. And my assumption is that as long as we keep putting this stuff out here in a loving way and as it's resonating for us, even if people don't agree that this is what that word means or this is what he was trying to convey, at least it's putting it out there again. So everybody gets a chance to have their own response. And as we said in the beginning, create a connection, their own connection to that source that can teach them. I love what Guy Finley says. He says, you know, your creator didn't put you in a world where if you search long and hard enough, you might find some guru that can help you through the tough times.
Yeah.
He said, you know, the creator put you in a world where your instant, constant connection to the source that can teach you and support you will never leave you if you just ask it to help. And teach you.
Fantastic. Great. So.
All right. Well, thank you for the comment, and I will mute you so you can listen, and go ahead and press one so your little hand goes away, and we'll see what the rest of lesson three holds for us. You know, I only got the lesson uploaded today, edited and uploaded today for Friday, but currently I think we're caught up. And if you miss this or you want to listen to this or you want to download just the first hour of today's show, you can find it on mindshiftersacademy.org. on a page that says Way of Mastery Lessons with Commentary. And I spent some time on Friday trying to talk about how one of the headings in this book is so right on target. So much, it's like a mantra for me. Any negative reactivity in my mind, in my body, indicates the need for self-forgiveness, meaning the application of a tool to remove the energies, the false beliefs, the negative perceptions in my mind that are signaled to me. The presence of these things are being signaled to me when I have a tension or an anger or a fear. And I'm getting told by my energy system, Tim, you're carrying this false belief, this traumatic energy, you're carrying this in your system, and you brought it with you into this situation. And on page 35 of Way of Mastery, one of the headings of the section says, reactivity indicates the need for self-forgiveness. Any negative thought I have, any negative emotion, any negative conclusion, any tension, any retraction, spasming in my energy system, physical, mental, or emotional, lets me know, hey, something's out of line, out of alignment with the awakened heart, with the Christ mind. And if I wake up, take that calming breath that we talk about, holding the breath at the top and then slowly exhaling, so it takes 10 seconds or longer to exhale, and turn the focus inside and ask myself simple questions like, okay, how am I creating this negative emotion? Or what am I making this situation mean? Or what is it that I have identified with that I'm afraid of losing in this moment that's causing this negative reaction? So the text goes on to say, right after the heading that says, reactivity indicates the need for self-forgiveness. In other words, the need for myself to remove from my energy system that which doesn't belong there. Rest assured, you will continue to project upon others whatever it is that remains unhealed and undismantled within yourself, unforgiven within yourself. Each time you react to another person or a situation, you're being given a sign that there's some kind of energy that has been presented to your awareness that you have not dismantled within yourself. You have not forgiven this within yourself. In one of the darshans, it talks about how every time I become disturbed, I'm being given another opportunity to bring new presence to energies which once defeated me. That's all that's happening. I'm not getting punished. I'm not having a vengeful God throw karma at me. I'm not having, you know, unnecessary negative reactions. I'm just given an opportunity in that moment to bring new presence to energies, beliefs, traumas that once tripped me up or defeated me. The text goes on to say, if someone is critical to you and you react every time they're critical, rest assured you have not healed the part of your mind that judges you negatively for having been critical in the past. That part of your own experience of being critical of others needs to be dismantled. Your negative judgment of yourself for having been critical to others is what is causing you to create a picture in your mind of somebody else as being critical and then form a perception that says that person should be attacked because they're being critical. Any attack thoughts that you have, we got this over and over again in the Course in Miracles. Any attack thoughts you have, you're creating, and they're attacking your absolute safety. You're simply creating a belief, a false belief, that there's something of value that you have that could be taken from you, or something of value that you need that could be taken from you, or you could be prevented from getting. So the book goes on to say, whether this is occurring now, in other words, whether you're being critical of somebody else right now, or whether it's a pattern that you've interrupted and you haven't done it for years or decades, you've still not dismantled that energy within yourself, forgiven that energy within yourself for having identified with that negative energy, that judgment, that critical activity. So the technique we want to give you is simple. Use your ordinary experience in each day to observe what pushes your buttons. We'll give you a very simple technique for doing so, and if you'll stay with it, it will reveal to you the energies that are in need of dismantling within your own system. They're in need of your forgiveness within your own mind-body energy system. This technique is so simple. All you do as you go through your day is observe when you feel as though you're in contraction, tension, resistance. Are the muscles of your body tight? Is the breath very shallow? Does your voice become faster or louder when you speak about some energy in someone else? If so, this is a sign that you need to do healing within yourself. Healing. You could say integration. You could say dismantling within yourself of the energies that don't belong there. When you recognize that these kinds of signs are going on, in other words, life has presented you an opportunity to be disturbed, that is a sign that there is something that requires healing, integration, or dismantling. Choose your own term. They're all about the same. Therefore, you could learn to count this as a blessing every time you feel disturbed. And I was saying on Friday, it's just amazing how I used to drive an automobile that had only one warning light, and that was an oil light. And essentially, when the oil light came on, it meant stop your car right now because there's no oil in it. And if you drive 1 mile further, you're probably going to freeze your engine and need a total engine replacement. It was a very unsophisticated warning light. But today, I'm driving a car that's got a warning light if I move out of a lane. It's got a warning light for each tire that's got a low pressure. So I'm glad when those warning lights go off. Instead of responding with anger, I respond with relief. Oh, I'm glad to be driving a vehicle that tells me early, an early warning sign. And that's what this lesson is telling us. Every time we feel anger, fear, sadness, hurt, guilt, shame, tension, tight muscles, louder voice, emotional tone in voice, we could choose to use it as the early warning signs that are a gift to help us wake up so we don't keep walking blindfolded down the street and step right into an open manhole. Our culture trains us to think this is bad, this is wrong. If I'm tight or tense or angry, that means somebody else is screwed up and they deserve my vengeance and attack. But we're offering, this teaching is offering something completely different, which is how about every time there's a tightness or a tension or a negative emotion, I choose to use it as a wake-up call, an early warning sign. And then I can apply this healing exercise. I can turn that my awareness from whatever my mind is showing me that's trying to tell me that something on the outside is causing my disturbance. And I can take a breath and remember the first axiom of this work, which is I am the source of my experience. I am feeling disturbed. I can look inside myself and ask, what needs to be healed? What needs to be assembled? What needs to be disassembled? What needs to be cleared from my consciousness? What needs to be forgiven within my energy system? I can breathe deeply and rhythmically. I can let my body soften and relax. And I can ask, okay, so what is it within what my mind is showing me about this other person or this outside situation that's stirring up my negative reaction. And this is a negative energy, thought, belief, or traumatic energy that I carried with me into this situation. And with practice, I'll start to see right away, oh, my mind has said that they're wrong for being critical. That must mean I'm still judging myself negatively for having been critical at some time in the past. When have I done that to another? Where have I been critical of others? And it might hit me right away or it might take a while, but, oh, I feel critical every time I think somebody is criticizing me. Or I feel critical whenever I think somebody else is being critical. Or maybe I'll have a memory flashback. Distasteful memories if I'm judging them. But I don't have to judge them. I could choose childlike innocence and curiosity and just say, ah, there's that energy of judgment and being critical. Boy, I've done that a lot in the past. I'm really good at that. Although, you know, the more I watch the consequences of my being critical and judgmental, the more I notice I don't really like the consequences. So perhaps in this moment, I can, with gentleness, with childlike innocence, with playfulness, I can say, I wonder what it would be like to choose a different response in this moment. Choose again. I continue to breathe and relax. I can look upon the energy of being critical, honor it, love it, for this is literally one of my many creations. I'm creating my experience of life. And it is my creation coming back to me that I might embrace it and transform it. I can just stay with it, look at it. Ah, yes, being critical, being in judgment of another. I've done that a lot in the past. I'm really good at it. I know that energy very well. I might choose to look on a specific memory if one has surfaced. I can look upon it with deep honesty and sincerity and say to myself, I'm going to dismantle that negative judgment against myself for being critical. I'm going to do that forgiveness process of dismantling of my negative judgment against myself for being critical. And I'm going to choose in this moment, because I'm consciously aware, I'm going to choose to teach only love by being consciously aware of my true nature as that energy of creation that some call love. And I want to extend it to myself and the object of my internal perception that might be outside of me. It might be a person, it might be a situation, it might be a warning light on my car, and I'm just going to extend that loving energy to everyone and everything around me in this moment. I can watch the image of that memory dissolve and disappear from my mind. I can bring my awareness back to the present moment and to that person or situation that seemed to push my button. I may not say anything to them at all, although I could, but within my energy system, I'm going to dismantle those judgments that I have against them. I'm going to allow the energy of being critical to melt away from my mind. I'm going to dismantle my negative judgments of myself for having let that energy of being critical make a home in my mind or the mind of the person that I'm looking at. I'm going to merely ask this internal wisdom, this awakened heart, this Holy Spirit, this Christ mind, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to ask it to replace my distorted perception with true perception. I'm going to ask to see the innocent light within the people and things around me. I'm going to ask to be able to see my brother and sister the way their creator sees them. The book goes on to say, as you cultivate this, you will become very, very good at it. Again, here's this word, cultivate. just take a moment and think about what does the word cultivate mean to you? Again, it doesn't mean to just throw a seed on the ground and walk away. What does cultivating this practice mean to you? If you cultivate it, you will become very, very good at it. You'll be able to do it as fast as the time it takes to snap your fingers. And once you begin to see the light in others, you can ask that inner guidance, that inner wisdom, the Holy Spirit, the Christ mind, quote, what is this critical energy, this negative energy in them masking or covering up in them? What are they really crying out for? How is this interaction with them that I judged as negative, how is it really a cry for help and healing? If I do that, I will feel compassion, for it will be revealed to me why they are hurting inside. Lo and behold, instead of being reactionary towards them, I just might be compassionate. My choice of words, my own behavior might turn out to be different than I could ever have imagined. For through me in that moment will flow exactly what energies serve my brother or sister. The text goes on to say, when I was being nailed to the cross, there was one of the many people there who raised the mallet to strike the nail. And as he raised the mallet, his eyes met mine for just a moment. In that moment, I did exactly what I have described to you here. By this time, I had mastered this, so it was done very, very quickly. I asked myself, have I ever wanted to drive a nail through someone else? And I remembered my murderous thoughts. In that moment, I dismantled my negative judgment toward myself for those murderous thoughts, and then I brought my attention back to that one who was about to drive a nail through my hand. And all I asked in that moment of my creator, of my source, of this great comforter of Holy Spirit, my awakened heart, I just asked to see the light in him. And I asked, what is this action mirroring to me? What is it masking within the other? And I saw that one's soul, and I felt love and compassion for that one's soul. I felt compassion for that person. In that moment, mark my words, in that moment of eye contact, that other soul awakened. That other soul got it. Because my energy was different in that moment, it created the space in which, critical words coming up here, because my energy was different, it created the space in which that soul could make a new choice. So this is not one person healing another. This is one person dismantling the negative judgments within themselves and creating a space that's different, that's clean, that's clear, that's compassionate, that lets the creative energy of the energy of creation, the energy of love, that lets it flow like that open conduit we were talking about. And when that energy is flowing in the moment, when I have a choice in the moment to bring new presence to energies and situations that once defeated me, it creates a new energy. It creates an opening. It creates an invitation that words cannot convey. I'm reading again. Because my energy was different, it created the space in which that soul could make a new choice. What happened was that soul suddenly saw the entirety of its experience, and it realized that if it allowed that mallet to fall upon the nail, that it would be a decision to choose to continue being nothing more than a doormat for other people's perceptions. And in that very instant, that soul decided to follow a path that would lead to sovereign mastery. That soul decided to never again be a pawn of any government or any group or any faction or anyone. In that moment, that soul made a choice. Nothing was done to that soul. That soul used the opening in the energy and the compassion being extended to him to make a new choice. In that instant, that soul decided to follow a path. That soul made a choice. He was not converted. He was not forced to change. He was not healed by the outside world. He decided to follow a path that would lead to sovereign mastery and never again be a pawn of any government, any group, any faction, or anyone. That soul dropped the mallet from his hand. This was a Roman soldier. That soul stood up, walked away, and disappeared. That soul has gone on to become a master that is known by literally thousands of beings. He is not currently in physical form. He does, however, visit many and teach many. He is indeed one who incarnated perfect mastery and therefore transcended the world. And it all began as the result of my desire to teach only love, to extend that loving energy rather than the judgment and the pain and the negative judgment of myself that was in my heart. Now that soul and I have a good friendship. So you see, you may not know how powerful your choice for healing is. When you heal, Course in Miracles tells us, you are never healed alone. At another point in Course in Miracles, it say, millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you choose to do in your life today. So you see, you may not know how powerful your choice for healing is. Most of us never know how powerful our presence is teaching what we truly value in the world, whether we are valuing our anger or we're valuing our judgment or valuing our depression or our anxiety or we're valuing our presence, our essence as the creative energy extending in form. If we value compassion and we value gratitude, that is being taught by our very presence and every word and action that conveys it. The text goes on, you may not really see how deeply and profoundly it will affect you because you go on being a creator and you go on forever. You, the spark of light and consciousness, not the physical body, but the consciousness that is part of the one mind, goes on forever. And you could never possibly, with your conscious logical mind, know what fruits will be born from that tree in the life of another, the tree that you plant when you choose to teach only love, which means to act from the awareness of your true nature as love. Because, and they say it again, this has been said several times already in the first three lessons, it says, because all minds are joined. So when you choose healing through forgiveness and dismantling that which does not belong within your energy system, dismantling the false perceptions of yourself or another, dismantling the negative judgments you've been holding against yourself and or another, when you do that, you literally create the space in which another person can also heal their life. They have the choice to make. It's been already made clear in this lesson. You can't do it for someone else. You can't do it to someone else. and yet you can be a space that allows them to do their work more easily if that's what they choose. The text goes on, let no moment then be wasted. Please, please understand there is no such thing as an ordinary moment in your life. Don't look upon things as ordinary. And don't see the perceptions that are taught to you of the world being justified within yourself. But be completely committed to rooting up and out of your being anything unlike the love of the Christ mind. That's the forgiveness process. Rooting up and taking out of your being anything that is unlike the love of Christ. Please don't think that some far-off entity, God or Jesus or Yeshua, is the only one that can do this. It is not true. You are here to live as the Christ mind and to learn to extend that love as others have learned to extend that love. Why? Because you are energy of love. Everything else is just a smokescreen. Forgiveness as a process of dismantling what doesn't belong in your system is necessary. Forgiveness is a skill and an art that will pay you dividend upon dividend upon dividend upon dividend. It will never cease paying you. Each moment in which you choose forgiveness, you have literally saved yourself 1,000 years of suffering. I mean that about as literally as one can mean anything. In short, every act of dismantling what doesn't belong in your system, your mind, body, energy system, negative energies, traumas, energies, negative judgments against yourself and others, every act of forgiveness is a miracle that shortens the need for experience in this dimension. When you find yourself in a situation that you believe is too big, rest assured, it is because something big has finally come to the surface to be healed within you so that more power can shine through you. Why? Because you've reached the place where you're ready for more of it. More of the Christ mind can be lived through you. The next, the last segment in this lesson is titled, Ending Your Day. It is very, very important to let each day be sufficient unto itself. This is why Dr. Michael Rice has tapped into the mind goal management sheet and the lecture, 2-hour lecture he has on getting the stress you need. And he talks about how there's an ancient statement that says, sufficient for the day are the evils thereof. And evil in that sense is a word that means unripened, unfinished. So sufficient for the day are the things that you accomplished in that day and the goals that you have for that day. And at the end of each day, cancel your goals. Cancel any unachieved goals you had for yourself for that day and any that you might have set in the past. Consciously canceling goals is one of the more powerful, one of the only truly effective ways to manage your stress as long as you're in a body. The text says, it is very, very important to let each day be sufficient unto itself. When you end your day, always truly end it. Don't take 4 hours of ritual. You can do it within a breath. As you take a deep breath and you rest your head upon the pillow, look upon the whole day. Embrace it with your consciousness. And as you let your breath out, say silently to yourself, I release and forgive this day It has been perfect, and it is done. Michael Rice would say, cancel any unachieved goal for the day, recent or distant past. Let it go. Just let it go. Why? Well, if you do not, you will just bring it with you. And you know that experience. And for 3 weeks, you're lamenting, oh my gosh, why did I make that decision 3 weeks ago? If only I'd made a different decision, this would not have happened and that would not have happened. In fact, that's perfectly true. But the point is, now 3 weeks later, you're still hitting yourself over the head by bringing the past with you. And in that bringing the past with you, you miss the glory of the present moment. You've all heard that 1,000 times because it is the truth. Consciousness is a very subtle and very powerful thing. You cannot help but create. Consciousness is always creating. Mind energy is a creative force. Remember, the goal of this pathway is to learn to deliberately create with perfect mastery. Therefore, look upon the things of the day and say, it is very good and it is finished. Even if your day was filled with a host of things that you regret doing, decisions that you don't like the consequences of, acting out negatively against someone else, it is done. Put your head on the pillow at night and with a breath, cancel any goal for it to be other than it was. Acknowledge it as your creation. Look gently and lovingly on it and breathe a sigh of relief as you recognize it is done. Each night when you rest your head upon the pillow and you know you are about to go off to sleep, be just like your creator in the biblical story of creation, in which it is written that on the seventh day, the creator rested. The creation was finished, in a sense, within the story. Have that same quality at the end of each of your days. If you're carrying some kind of emotional reaction because of something that someone said or did, or something you said or did, practice forgiveness before you go to sleep. If you do not, you will keep experiencing the conflicted energies during your dream states. And communication between you and the other one who has not yet been forgiven, in other words, for whom you're carrying negative judgments and perceptions that you have not dismantled, that connection between you and that communication between you will keep on going until that dismantling process, that forgiveness process, is complete within you. It is very important. Time should never be taken frivolously. Play with it, yes, but play with it out of consciousness, out of clarity, out of recognizing that there is no such thing as an idle thought. Each thought creates a world of experience for you. And you are worthy of experiencing heaven in each new present moment. We will have much more to say about forgiveness as we begin to plumb the depths of what is discovered as you practice this process of forgiveness 70 times, 7 times. It takes you deeper and deeper into the very mechanics of consciousness itself, the very mechanics of creation, your creative process. So put forgiveness at the top of your list until you know how perfectly forgiven you are, until you know how pure your consciousness is as a creative force. Be therefore vigilant against denying what is still in need of forgiveness within you. Reactivity indicates the need for forgiveness. Any tightness, any tension, any resistance to the flow of life indicates your need to dismantle something within your mind-body energy system. Because for whatever you deny, you will project into your mind's images of someone or something else. And each projection is a hurtful act to yourself. You're not hurting anybody else by projecting negative images on them. It's you who's hiding the purity of your own consciousness from yourself each time you deny and therefore project. Of course, it can also be hurtful to the other if they are not perfectly awake, but it's primarily yourself you're hurting when you deny and project. There's much that's been said in this lesson that needs to be read again and again and again, so that your mind can begin to truly grasp how important and how powerful this process of forgiveness is. You will reach a place where you absolutely delight in going through your day expressing this forgiveness process, like a wave emitting itself from the ocean of your consciousness, even if nobody is doing anything. Forgiveness itself becomes a delightful energy to live within. The early identification of and releasing of any negative tension, judgment, negative emotion is a delightful energy to live within. Beloved friends, use this process of forgiveness for yourself, and when you do that, you will have forgiven Christ. In other words, dismantled any false images you have of the Christ mind. When Christ is forgiven, Christ will arise and make his home in your heart, your mind, and even in the cells of your body. You will know what it means to walk in this world and yet not be of the world. And when you look in the mirror, you will say, "Behold, the Savior appears." Why would that be? Because you will be the conduit for that energy of the Christ mind. You will be the open, translucent, wide open conduit for the energy of creation expressing in form. This will not be egoic arrogance that says it, but the recognition of what is true always. Here's a statement of what is true always. I am the Creator's offspring, and I am sent into this world to bring light to it. I'm here to be an extension of love in form. I'm here to be an open conduit for the extension of the creative energy. Be you therefore at peace, beloved friends. Practice this process of forgiveness well until it becomes like taking a breath. You will discover power that you did not know could exist, and you will discover a freedom whose taste is sweet above honey. I apply this process of forgiveness to you, not because I have judged you, but because I know the blessing that this process of forgiveness brings to me. This process is something I perfected as a man. Perfect it within yourself as well, and you will know the glory of the Christ mind. Be you therefore at peace, beloved friend. Amen. That brings us to the end of our first reading of the third lesson in Way of Mastery, which is on forgiveness as a tool for removing that which does not belong within my energy system. And we have 4 or 5 minutes for questions, comments, answers, soliloquies, requests for what to begin tomorrow, because the process is going to be going back through lesson 3, unless there's a request to do something else. 563-999-3581. You can either type your comment or question in the chat room, or you can raise a hand, as someone has done here from area code 828. You're in the air.
Hi, Dr. Tim. This is Magda.
Hello, Magda.
Happy Valentine's.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. So we just have a few minutes. I want to say ever so quickly that I love what you're doing. I'm so glad you're reading and reading slowly. It really helps the comprehension of the myself as a receiver. I agree with everything Susan said earlier and made a comment that I totally have thought about, which is that it's hard to tell when you're reading or when you are making commentary because you have integrated these beliefs and thoughts and ideas within yourself so very much. And so I agree with that, and I'd also like to ask if you'd be willing to identify when you're reading and when you're commenting, because I don't have the book in front of me. I'm not following along that way.
Well, you know, I tried doing that at first, and I found it it was stopping me from just being in the flow. So I try mm-hmm. when I have been off of the text, I like to say, and then the book goes on to say. So I will take that under consideration and see if I can do it without, you know, completely losing the flow. But it is a it's a thing that. Like what prompted me a week ago Friday, I think, was what prompted me to start putting the editing the first half of the show and putting it on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website, because I get into such a flow that after the show, I'm not sure exactly what I said. And so I went back and listened, and I was I thought, wow, that was interesting that this blended in and that blended in. So then I listened to it again. And by the time I was listening to it for the third time, I thought, well, maybe I should have a special page on the website for these so they're easier for people to find. And in it, originally I imagined that I would have notes like Jeannie has, but I've just taken to saying, in this one I'm reading, you know, the first few pages of lesson two, or I'm continuing lesson two or whatever, and then giving the date, because it's too much for me to go back and listen to each one and pull out more detailed notes. But I appreciate that comment. I will keep it in mind as we go forward and see if there's a way to be more clear about when I'm launching into commentary without losing the flow. So it's probably possible for me to come up with a little, you know, one-liner or something that identifies that.
Well, I have noticed lately that you said, and the book goes on to say, that is really distinctive and helpful. So maybe you could say something like, and I'm thinking, or whatever. So anyhow, thank you so much for doing it. I look forward to it every day. And have a wonderful day.
All right. Same to you. Blessings. Thank you for the call. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Tim. And I've enjoyed the readings as well. I'm glad that you're pulling them out and putting them over on the MindShifters Academy. That's awesome.
Well, you're welcome and deserving, and happy Valentine's Day, and have a wonderful show.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, happy Valentine's to you, too. Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of MindShifters Radio. Today is Monday, February the 14th, 2022, Valentine's Day. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. And we'll give Michael a moment to get dialed in, and I'll invite you to go to the website. And if you click on Multimedia, and then go down to Stories, Poems, Songs. I don't know of a quicker way to get you there. I wished I could, but I can't put everything on the homepage. And then if you scroll down under stories, poems, and songs, and I'll put this in the notes for the day too, the direct link to it, but a young lady had come and announced this yesterday or Friday. She had come across the work, got the book, read it, and felt like it fit perfect. She was a songwriter and singer, and she has a song, and it's actually under the list that says poems and songs, and it's called We All Choose. And Stacy is just absolutely fabulous. Thank you for sending that to us and telling us we could put it on the website. It's a fabulous song. So
can we play
I
it?
Hope you go out and listen to it. I don't know if I were playing it on my phone, but I'm not sure. I can click it, and you tell me whether it's,
okay.
You know, plays loud enough to be heard.
Life is a story we all get to read. We all set on a stage, even before we breathe. And the pages start turning, words just fall out like spring in the desert. They pour out our mouths. Hold on a minute, not ready yet. We just give up, give and ask, give away, get it now. Sure, we don't know what to do, so we do what we know, and we choose us. Oh, we choose pain. One thing broken the and One way we all cannot lose, to endless what we all choose.
I think it's awesome, and we do. We all choose. So it's just up to us. I really like the line where she says, you know, we can rewrite the same chapter or we can erase the past. Basically, those aren't her exact words. And we can do it with the same pen, and that pen is in our hand.
That's a great piece of music. It actually kind of faded out a little bit, so it's hard to keep up with. But some of the lyrics, life is a story we all get to read. We are set on the stage before we breathe. And the pages start turning, the words just fall out. Like a spring in the desert, they'll pour out of our mouths. There's no hold on for a minute. I'm not ready yet. We just get what we're given and give what we get. And they'll feed us our lines to get on with the show. We don't know what to do, so we do what we know. And we choose love or we choose hate. One thing we all cannot lose, we all choose. Life is a story we all get to write with the ink of our past and the gift of new sight. We can write the same chapter again and again or blot out the lines with the very same pen. What a great twist in a song. Used to be in the music business. That's powerful. We all sign our name with the choices we make. We don't take what we need, we don't need what we take. And the plot we are cursing is in our command, because the pen we're holding is in our own hand. Love always gives us a choice, always gives us a voice, always hopes and protects, never holds to regret. Love is mercy and just. We'll choose always to trust. Love is patient and kind. If we choose love, we find love was there all the time. Life is a story we all get to live. We can choose to be thankful and choose to forgive. There's no back door to pain. There's no getaway car. But there's joy to be found from each thorn and each scar. As we carve out our name with each choice that we make, when we take what we need and we need what we take, and we each hold a cup that can quench the same thirst. We're ashamed to be last, but afraid to be first. We choose love, or we choose hate. The one way we all cannot lose, when love is what we all choose. Great piece of music, Stacy. She's got a beautiful voice. It was a little hard. You know, the first couple lines sounded okay, but it kind of faded in and out a little bit. But she's got the message, got the whole thing. So very much like, what was her first name? Redonde Marie? Or was it Marie, Jeannie? The gal who did the song that plays in our intro and outro.
Oh, no, that was Mary Redonde, yeah.
Mary Redonde.
Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely some good messages. And then, of course, there's Joel Goldstein and the singing dentist and his song, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You'll find that on YouTube if you want to look for it. And we're here to bring level upon level of understanding of how it is that we write our own story with the pen in our hand. So delighted to have you with us. Delighted to have you be here and play this out. And it's interesting how we tend to, as she said, there's no ask, you know, wait, I'm not ready. Whatever you hold is what you create. And probably the biggest, you've heard me say this before, the biggest atrocity, the most horrendous atrocity that's ever been done to us and that we've bought into is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators. And because our creative process is unconscious, people will say, well, you know, I've been asking. They told me in the scriptures, asking you will receive. And I've been asking, but I'm not receiving. It's like, well, yeah, you're receiving. Well, but it's not what I've been asking for. Oh, you probably don't know where your asker is. That's the problem. You think your asker's in your head. And your asker's not in your head. Your asker is in your heart. Remember this, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. The power to create lies in the energetic patterns that we accumulate and develop over time. And then the goals that we select to activate those energetic patterns from the unconscious that set up a literal, measurable, high-energy field that draw people in to play those things out with us. Now, this law of resonance is a powerful one, especially in the human realm. You know, in the non-human realm, resonance simply creates motion. You know, if I've got a middle C tuning fork, I hit it on a desk and I put it in front of a second middle C tuning fork, motion in that second tuning fork, the second tuning fork starts to vibrate. In the human realm, resonance not only creates motion, but it creates motion toward. In other words, whatever you hold in your heart, in your asker, in your unconscious, care of the heart, whatever you hold there is energy. By definition, energy is motion, and everything that's in motion sets up an energy wave. Guess who's going to come and play with you if you hold an, I don't ever want this to happen again, and you say what you think is a prayer, and please don't let this ever happen to me again. I don't want another relationship where there's conflict and strife. Well, the body of your thought that just went to your asker was, relationship with conflict and strife. The word I don't want isn't, the words I don't want isn't heard. Now, if I say don't think about the color of your car, what moves in your mind? The color of your car. The don't word doesn't mean anything. It's the body of the phrasing that produces the result. So when people are always in the game of what they don't want, I'm really clear what I don't want, well, then I just put it in my asker for it to come and get me. And when you want things to be a certain way, that goal will, you know, the distorting power on the other end is that goal for things to be a certain way will tend to resonate the brain cells that support that being true, and your mind will serve you up that false reality. There's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, you must be aware of the distorting power of the way you want it to be. When you want it to be a certain way, when you're not really interested in the truth, oh, I want my party to win, I want my candidate to win, I want my president to win. If that's what you want, then the only evidence you'll get to see is that which supports that. That's the power of a goal, the distorting power of the way you want it to be. Gene and I were relaxing this morning, being Valentine's Day. We got lazy and just peeled a couple of apples and laid in bed and ate apples and just talked and hung out. And I came across a kind of an interesting characterization for me of this idea of the distorting power of the way you want it to be. And if you've ever gone into a business and you ask the sales manager what would happen if you did this, you ask the order department, you ask the salesman, you ask the delivery, you got a lot of different answers for the same question. And each one, of course, is carrying out their job the way they want it to be so that they win. So this was just kind of a cute breakdown of that. The project manager, and so this is in regard to delivering a baby. So the project manager is the person who thinks 9 women can deliver a baby in 1 month, just needs to manage the project. The developer is the person who thinks it takes 18 months to deliver a baby. The on-site coordinator is one who thinks a single woman can deliver 9 babies in 1 month. The marketing manager is the person who thinks he can deliver a baby even if no man or woman are available. He's going to sell it anyway. The resource optimization team thinks they don't need a man or a woman. They'll produce a child with zero resources. The documentation team thinks, the documentation thinks they don't care whether the child is delivered. They'll just document 9 months. The quality auditor is the person who's never had a delivered baby. The tester is the person who always tells everyone that this is not the right baby. The HR manager is the person who thinks a donkey can deliver a human baby if given 9 months. And the client is the one who's not even sure they're ready for a baby. Anyway, I thought that was kind of a cute breakdown of the idea of the distorting power of the way we want it to be. You know, everybody gets paid for doing a different job, and so their view of the same exact circumstance is different because that's how they'll get what they want. And when we realize that we have that kind of distortion going on, it tends to happen in every arena of life. You know, people who live in that game don't want to have anything to do with facts. They're not interested at all in facts. In fact, they'll tell you that they're working off of alternative facts, as though such a thing could possibly be true. And then one sells those alternative facts to others, and if people want it to be whatever way this particular person selling their alternative facts is offering them, then they'll accept it and believe it, and they'll go out and kill for it. This, to me, this whole game, when we look at how that's working out in our culture today, highlights the reason for understanding these first century Aramaic teachings and how to align your mind so that living in blockage of truth resolved. Most people want it to be a certain way and will only look at the facts that align with the certain way that they want it. You listen to Yeshua and he gives one of the keys to empowering your mind to actually function out of truth. When one lives in blockage of truth, i.e., I want to prove that my alternative facts are the truth. Someone politically said recently that, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own set of facts. The facts are the way that it actually is. But if we have a particular way we want it to be and we look at the way it is and it doesn't support it, then the tendency is to substitute a projected reality blocks the awareness of the actuality of what really actually is true. So one, based on the way they want it to be, where there's no support for the truth of that, will block certain information, they'll go into what's called blockage of truth. When blockage of truth is confronted with truth, then one of two things happens. Stress level goes through the roof. And that stress, the two things that happen, is either projected onto the source of the information that's delivering the information that conflicts with the quote-unquote truth as they see it. So if one's in blockage of truth and truth shows up, stress goes up. And that stress is usually attached, for most people, attached to getting rid of the source of the information that they don't want to deal with. When you engage in forgiveness, you collapse the perceptual constructs of your mind and you make room for truth to show up. And when you do that, then you rewire your brain so that if stress comes up, the stress attaches to going inside and cleaning up the disturbance, the blockages, and the upsets within the mind. The alternative to that is puking on somebody and getting rid of them. When someone presents you with something that is just totally and completely false, and you point them toward the evidence of the truth of it, you might notice that happening. I know that recently I did a conference for a group of people who were into, you know, a lot of different political stuff. And the challenge was that, you know, members of the group were divorcing and family separating and such. It's because somebody in each of those conflicts was living in blockage truth. So when I rewire my mind so that when truth appears and my stress goes up, I go for self-correction rather than getting rid of the source of the information, then I eradicate that problem. And forgiveness, you know, when you go back 2,000 years ago and understand that this ancient technology was there, that they knew that perception was a construct of the mind, they called it an appearance, and that in order to collapse that construction of the mind, in order to collapse that appearance, you had to know that it was being driven by a goal the way you want it to be. And then when you cancel the goal, the corresponding false construct of mind, the false perception, collapses in on itself. When it collapses in on itself, then you have access to the underlying information. And so in a nutshell, that's a key piece of the work that we're doing. And, you know, working to bring forward these tools and this understanding from this first century Aramaic. I mean, there's so much that's been glossed over and missed there when they turned that teaching on physics and physiology and psychology and genetics into theology. So much was lost. But when you start looking at those other disciplines and you have the brain cells for what the first century Aramaic teachings were, they're just mightily profound and life-changing. So we're here to support people changing their lives. Ms. Jean, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
Well, Martha did have her hand up and it went back down. I'm going to turn her mic on just to see if she still wanted to talk. Yep, there she's back. Okay, you're on 828.
Well, hey there, yeah. Young lady. Welcome.
Hi, happy Valentine's Day.
And to you.
To both of you. Yeah, thank you. So I just want to give you a response about the song. It was very difficult to hear it clearly. It there were words missing and parts of words missing, and it just didn't come through very clearly. So I think I'd love to hear the whole song for real. But I just wanted to give that feedback. And that's happened when you've played other things during the show. It just
We need to see if we can find a better way to do that. But that's one of the reasons I read the words, because it didn't come across very well.
Right, right. Well, that was good. Great words. Okay, that's it. I'm ready to listen.
All right, young lady. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay,
see you tomorrow.
Bless love.
All right, we have another hand up, and it's 541. I believe it's Celinda. You're on the air.
Good morning. It is Celinda.
Well, good morning or good afternoon from where we are.
That's right. Good afternoon. We're in the great now, right? The eternal now.
There you go.
We don't worry about that time too much. It was only set up for the railroad's convenience anyway.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Following on Magda's comment, when you read the words, Michael, I couldn't hear either. It was just totally garbled.
Really?
When you read the words, on my phone. I have an older phone, a 6S, but still.
Are you hearing me clearly now?
Oh, definitely.
Well, that's strange. So, well, maybe sometimes my microphone is a little too close, and maybe that was the problem. So I'll go over the words again.
Wonderful. What I was thinking is, if the songstress gives you permission, is it possible to put the words on the website?
I actually already have the words and the song on the website, and I'm going to put the links to both in the notes for today.
That's perfect, because then I can go back and listen to it clearly through the computer, and then Larry, if he's interested in listening to the song too, he can, and then I have the words to refer to later since I'm not on media very much. Perfect. And I also wanted to share with you, in the midst of my 34-year-old trauma and drama with my 34-year-old year-long friendship with Joe, is that the only place where I can stay safe in relation to facts is I consider facts the actuality of something, and I can never hold the whole actuality of the creation or the creator. And so my safest place is to be neutral and to walk that middle path and to say, this is the evidence I see. But I really shy away from fact, because I have notice that within myself and with others, this is just my sharing now and my perceptions, that whenever facts, the word facts, start being used, it's almost invariably a buttress for a belief system. And then the labeling and the slandering and everything else follows upon that. One thing I know about myself, Michael, is I'm at least missing the bullseye, at least missing the bullseye if I'm an error, if I'm coming from negativity. And
pain is the marker, yes.
Right. And most likely I'm totally off the mark, totally off the target. And that is the only thing that keeps me humble. And I really appreciate what you said, you've been saying this morning, the song's words, and what Dr. Tim just read in the previous hour, because it's showing me that I'm still in a place of my goal is still intact, and I still need to peel away at that goal until all I see of Joe is the creative light that she is in form, and that if she is not creating from love, that I'm still going to hold her as love, and how and to hold myself as love, and to find that middle way. And so I wanted to share that with you, not because that's true, but that's my truth for this moment in time. And I'm just get very, very, my attention goes up whenever someone starts using facts, because what I hear is, I'm right and you're wrong. And so I've got a whole bunch
more. That might
be
a good worksheet. That might be a good worksheet on being made wrong.
I'm working on, I only have little fragments of time, so I'm working on the mind shifter, and also the mind shifter you gave Julie. When I have a fragment of time, and the worksheets I tend to do in the evening after I'm alone, because Larry goes to bed earlier than I. So, yeah, it's definitely for more worksheets. And let me get a pencil in case there's something you want to share with me. And also mind shifters. I'm really realizing that it's a hand-in-a-glove experience, and that what Dr. Tim wrote this morning about read this morning about forgiveness was just, like, spot on. You know, after I have been slain in the spirit, I'll wake up again and we'll proceed forward.
So let's go for a mind shifter.
Mm-hmm.
I totally and completely enjoy it.
I know what's coming, I think, maybe. I'll be ready.
When people...
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
When people slander and make me wrong,
in other words, I don't need to do anything. In other words, I have the opportunity in every one of those moments to embrace the leper in front of me, which is me.
And the projection that there's a leper in front of you.
And my projection that there's a leper in front of me, right. That was the leper was supposed to be in quotes in reference to St. Francis having to embrace the leper in order to
mm-hmm.
be freed.
I understand.
From his fear, yeah. But I didn't say quotes.
Cool.
Yep, the projection of me, the leper, that's all it. It's all coming home. The chickies are all coming home to roost, Michael and Jeannie.
It always does, yes, yes. And my offering would be, as that political person I mentioned, I don't remember who it was, is that we're all entitled to our own opinion. And what I hear you talking about is the opinions are at variation based on facts. And, you know, we don't have to be on one side of a discussion or the other to say the girl walked down the street. You know, the fact is the
right.
girl walked down the street. Now, how I interpret that, some person might interpret
right.
it as, and she was stuck up, or some person might interpret it as she was being seductive, or somebody else might interpret it as whatever's going on in their brain. They're the interpretations that I hear that person referring
right.
to. Everybody's got a reality. But
right.
we can at least move in the direction of coming to some level of agreement on this is what actually happened. And then respectfully deal with our opinions and our realities from a place of healing rather than conflict.
Right, in a place of cooperation and community and
yeah.
coordination with each other. Finding
yes, for sure.
ground. What's our common ground to be loved?
Yeah.
And whenever I'm in that place, Michael and Jeannie, whenever I'm in that place, the way opens. And whenever I'm in blockage of the larger truth, even if I have a portion of it, when I'm in blockage of the larger truth that Ruha is trying to show me, then I'm in disharmony and I'm basically sabotaging everything, myself. And the outside world.
I'm agreeing with you there. So we hold the space for the next piece of work to be done.
Amen.
Cool.
Or,
so I'll go ahead.
Amen.
My voice is clear now.
Michael.
Amen.
Actually,
and a woman.
You
yes,
were clear,
you.
Michael, you were clear on my end, and I got a text from a couple of people that said you were clear on their end.
Okay.
So it must have been in Celinda's phone.
Ah, all right, so I don't need to read it again.
No.
Okay.
Your voice is totally clear. Your voice is totally
yep.
clear. The
okay.
song was not. Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh, okay,
I'm
I understood. You said you couldn't understand. Okay.
No, I understand you and Jeannie completely and everyone who calls in. It's just
cool.
the song that didn't come across.
Got
and
it.
So I'm
okay.
very grateful it's on the show. Thanks so much.
Cool. All right, blessings. Appreciate you. Tell Larry we said hello. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
And we have, I believe, Josiah is back with us. We were hoping
awesome.
You would call back in. Area code 678, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're rocking. How about you, young man?
It's a great, beautiful day. The sun is shining. I'm on my lunch break grabbing some flowers for my wife for Valentine's Day, so can't complain.
Sweet.
Yep,
where are you located?
I'm in North Georgia, about an hour north of Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And you'll have to bear with me for just a moment because I'm going to be on the road for the next few minutes, but not for long. So
okay.
hopefully the sound
you're
won't
clear.
Be too bad. Oh, good. I know there's been some issues with clarity today. So
yes.
So I have three things today. One is a little bit longer, two are shorter, and are just questions. So just general questions. So I guess get the
Go
big
for
one
it.
Out of the way, maybe.
Okay.
As I've been kind of going back through the worksheets and rereading the book and trying to, you know, well, not trying, but going through the paces of, you know, going through this process of Aramaic forgiveness again, it's kind of occurred to me that, you know, if you remember the first time around when I was doing going through Aramaic forgiveness, it was very circumstantial, situational, based off of, you know, basically survivability in, you know, day by day, sometimes many times throughout the day. And, you know, you touched on something really important and I think invaluable to me, which is I have found myself in a safe space now, in a loving relationship mutually, and so, you know, have become comfortable. And so some of the places of darkness within me that had not been attended to or fully healed are coming back to light. And
right.
So I guess the biggest thing I've wondered is there, and maybe it's in the website or in the writings and I just missed it, but is there a means of tackling those things directly, meaning like those unforgiven places within my heart and mind and soul and being that I have yet to untie from, let loose from, cancel out? Or is this a situation that those unforgiven hurts and pain are, I'm just going to have to deal with each one as they pop up? You know, I'm looking for kind of a proactive solution if that's a possibility.
Right. Sure. Well, one of the tools that we teach is a tool called Mind Shifters. And Jeannie, I wonder, I don't have my computer in front of me, if you could pull the latest Mind Shifter sheet up. And we've got six sections on that, right? So while Jeannie's checking on that, so a mind shifter is a tool that we use. And the way we use it is you take a piece of paper, and you draw a line down the middle, you write the mind shifter on the left-hand side, and then recognizing that the mind works by resonance, you just let whatever comes up in response to that mind shifter flow out of your pen on the right-hand side of the page. And you write and write and write till you finish, you know, your mind finishes with that conversation. And then you write the mind shifter again, write the mind shifter, and do a brain dump. And what we found, like in our intensives over the years, that the way that I've always assigned a mind shifter rather than having the individual figure it out in their head or me try to figure it out in my head, is I start off and I ask that that power within you guide you to the right two numbers that will give you a mind shifter that will be appropriate for your next piece of work. So I'm just going to invite you to pick a number from 1 to 6, whatever pops in your head first.
4.
Okay. And then 1 to 13.
7.
So 4, 7. Jeannie, do you have that available? You can take a look at what the mind shifter is in 4, 7. So out of about 90 mind shifters, you just selected one by picking those two numbers. And what I've found over the years, I mean, been using that system for about 40 years with people, is that they always just lock right into the numbers that are for right where they're ready to do their next piece of work. So do you by chance, Jeannie, have 4, 7 available there? Hello, Jeannie. Is your mute button on, sweetie? There, I think I heard you. Jeannie? Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure what's happened.
So I heard you go through the mind shifter on Friday's call, and I was going to call Friday, but I was feeling at the moment the call that you had was that person really needed to talk through the link. So I absolved and decided to wait. But
right.
I remember cool. it being almost kind of like almost borderline ridiculous statements, you know, like because I heard the chuckle and I was like, okay, yeah, I kind of understand it. But where does the statement come from? Is that part of the tool maybe or?
Could you say that just once again? My phone kind of faded there for a second.
Oh, just the origin of the mind shifter statement, is that part of the tool itself? Because it's kind of it seemed like an almost ridiculous statement, as evidenced by her laughter.
Right. Well, and usually the laughter comes because the mind says, "Oh no, that's the last thing I wanted to look at." So that then is, and if you listen, I mean, we've been doing mind shifters with people on the show for 10 years, virtually every time somebody comes back with some kind of or what have you. And it's because they really, you know, it moves something that needs to be dealt with. So let's see if this moves something for you. This section four, we've got six different sections. It's actually seven. I'm realizing that we're up to. We do a new one each month. We have a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop each month. We've got a club kind of thing going on. And so we add a different section each month. So 4-7 is eternal life is a reflection of making choices that embody my true being, love. So if you've got a pen handy, if you want to write that down, what happens when you hear that statement in your mind? Eternal life is a reflection of making choices that embody true being, pardon me, embody my true being, love.
The first, because I don't have a pen on me right this set, but the first word that came up was acceptance.
Okay. So acceptance in the sense of, yeah, I'm ready to go for that?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Great. Well, maybe you can back. Actually, I'll get Jeannie to get your number to me, and I'll text this to you so you have it, seeing as how you're not in a position where you can write. And what I'll suggest is take a time period of an hour and just take a page, divide it, put that on the left-hand side and see what comes up. And that usually will, and oftentimes when people get a mind shifter, they'll go into, you know, oh, that doesn't apply to me. No, that means nothing. But if they'll stick with it and write, it will open up something that needs to move.
Okay. All right. And that
so work with that one and see what happens.
Okay. That was the first one, first sentence? Or?
Say it again?
That was the first. You said there was a 4 and a 7. Was there a second?
Well, there are several. No, there are several sections. That's section 4, and each section has 13 mind shifters. So the two numbers that you pick point to one mind shifter out of the whole set of 90.
Oh, okay. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And then the other half of the answer to that question is that life. It's kind of like a mind shifter. You've maybe heard me say this before, that the purpose of life is to kick us right square in the limitation. And so when we're in a state of willingness, life will come along with whatever the resonance is, whatever the stimulus is that's going to resonate my next piece of work. So, you know, I haven't thought about this person that I've had a lot of trauma with in years, and I don't think about them. I just have them blocked out of my mind because there's so much pain. And all of a sudden, when, you know, consequent with my willingness to do my work, somebody, you know, old friend shows up and says, oh, by the way, how's such and such doing? And that then opens, okay, so here's my next piece of work. Here's where I need to go next.
Yep.
So life kind of acts like a mind shifter when you're ready to do it. And if you're not, it'll tend to stay locked down.
Yeah. And you know, it's ironic that you say that because my the feelings that I've had and the thoughts that I've had that have been leading me back to the Aramaic forgiveness and, you know, the dissatisfaction of not liking the way that I've acted about certain things, you know, happenstancely occurred at the same time that I was contacted about a legal issue by the person I mentioned before.
There you go. Life is a mind shifter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's relentless. It's relentless. I mean, there may be time periods between it, but sooner or later, something's going to show up, and it'll usually be coincident with my willingness and readiness to handle it. It's going to set that energy in motion. And then if I'm really willing to do my work, that becomes a gift.
Okay. Well, that answers my question. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Cool.
I didn't know if this was something that I was going to have to just take, you know, each feeling as it pops up by itself, or if there's something more proactive I could do. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, there's another very proactive thing you can do as well, and that is dreams can be a powerful way to open. It's kind of like we tend to live, if we listen to Yeshua's teaching, and he talks about take care of the heart, which means the unconscious, for out of it are the issues in life. Most people have this barrier. It was called in the ancient teachings the veil of the temple. They said the veil of the temple must be rent in twain, torn in two. It wasn't about a purple curtain in the church. The temple is this body-mind union, and the veil is the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious. Most people have a pretty tight barrier during their conscious waking hours. But when they sleep, the barrier kind of, you know, becomes more fenestrated, becomes more open. There are spaces in it, and things can be more easily accessible. So a good process to do is, and especially when you first start, and once you've got this underway, you don't really need to do the interim step, but take a glass of water and set it beside the bed for, you know, for when you go to bed at night. And as you're drinking half of the glass of water, last thing before you lay your head down, you ask for the guidance in dreams to be shown. What work do I have to do? What needs to be done in me? I'm willing to listen. So you just drink half of the glass of water and then tell yourself that. And in the morning, when I drink the other half glass of water, I'll remember what the guidance was. And you'll find yourself being able to make very effective use of dream time. And it may take some time to understand the dreams and you know, maybe a little bit of study in the dream realm, but that can be a powerful tool. And or just, you know, last thing before you go to sleep is just ask, you know, Rukka, I need guidance. I know I've got work to do, and maybe I've got some blockages, so I'm willing to undo those blockages, and I'm willing to look. Show me in my dreams what maybe in my waking life I'm not quite ready to handle. And you'll start getting messages that will open up just phenomenal healing.
Okay. All right.
I know for me, the last thing I do virtually every night, there's a thing we in the meditation wellness to stillness, we present a tool where we invite people to just allow themselves to go into a relaxed place, breathe deeply, and tap the thumb on the index and the second finger on each hand and count backward 3, 2, 1, and just allow yourself to allow that to be a signal to allow your whole structure to go into relaxation. Okay. My sleep time is 3, 2, 1. Show me anything I need to deal with and help me to resolve it in sleep. So you can make those requests and advance your process, as opposed to, you know, the average person, don't make me look, don't make me deal with my life, keep that hidden from me. And people think because it's hidden that they don't have to deal with it, but then what they don't realize is that their physiology, where it's stored, where it's hidden, has to deal with it, and it becomes disease processes. So the willingness to just allow it come forward and move, and just speaking that is powerful.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, so I've had some positive gains in smaller things rather than big upsets. so that I've immediately used like the quick guide for. But one thing I did notice was not only in some of the newer videos, but also in some of the writings, there's been some updates. And one of the things that really stands out is that because back in the day, I had watched your original nine-part, the four-hour sequence.
Why does that mean speak out? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then there was also another newer one that was 4 hours. I think that was maybe from, maybe about 8 years ago or so.
Yes.
I noticed, like, for example, like you don't use suppression anymore. It's now dissociation.
Right.
I scoured YouTube and I scoured the internet and I couldn't find I know I found it once before years ago when I did this, but I can't seem to find anymore the newer Why Is This Happening to Me Again series that I think is equally as long. It's like 4 hours long. There's a one part on your YouTube channel, but it only has part one. And then parts two, three,
right.
and four, I couldn't seem to find them anywhere.
Right. Actually, you'll find that if you want to, it's available in our catalog of DVDs for sale as a streaming download.
Oh, okay.
So if you look, there's a 10-hour video package that has the original 4-hour in it. It has the most updated 4-hour, and it has a 2-hour. And that's all available if you look on whyagain.com on the products. You'll see that in the list.
.org.
Or you can buy that. Or .org, pardon me. Thank you, sweetie. It's been a long time, but still comes back. So you can find it in the catalog there, either the 4-hour separately, or you can buy the whole 10-hour package.
Okay.
You can buy physical media. You can buy physical media. We've got it on DVD, but you can also just buy a streaming download. And, of course, once you buy it, it's yours forever.
Perfect. And that kind of leads into the other small question, and that is...
Well, before you go there, let me just offer a piece of information based on what you just said. And that's a nice catch that, you know, in the original you saw that it was suppressing. I mean, for 20... probably closer to 30 years, that was what was at the top of every board every time I did that Y workshop, which sometimes I've done three times in a day, was deny, suppress, project. And I had done some, and I actually am not in touch with it at this moment, but some pretty deep work in my own personal process. And out of that, I was doing some writing and I literally got this, like, almost like this psychic tap on the shoulder, said, Michael, it is not suppress, it's dissociate. And here's what dissociate means. I was giving the instructions that clearly, and that it really led to a whole level transformation of the work, because suppress is kind of like, you know, I'm hiding this, so, you know, I can bring it out of hiding or not. But when you realize it's dissociate, that literally it is how the unconscious mind is created. My thesis is that it is not natural for a human being to have an unconscious mind. And if you talk to the average psychologist or psychiatrist today, they'll tell you that 90, 95, maybe 98% of our thoughts are unconscious. That's a totally unnatural condition. We've dissociated from that much content through our generations. And once I realized that it's not just hiding it, but I'm literally cutting myself off from it, to me, that just added a whole new level of the urgency of, I really need to open this door, this veil, and start to look. Elsewise, my life is being run unconsciously.
Right.
So
Okay.
That's where that dissociate came in as a very direct instruction.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, too, because I think it makes, it clicks better, at least for me.
Yes.
And that kind of brings me into the last question, which is, do you have any plans to update the original book, or at least, or maybe do a new updated version that kind of entails some of those aspects. Because I know there's been other smaller things that have been improved and things like that. And the reason why I ask about the book and the videos is because I tend to be more of a visual learner anyway.
Right.
And so those things kind of speak to me a little bit deeper.
I'm actually working on what I'm considering publishing as a live ebook, so that when someone purchases it, they'll be buying the latest information, and it will update every time a new piece of the puzzle comes in, because there are so many new pieces that have come in. Like, at the same time as that deny dissociate came in, about that same time, I was given a new definition for denial, where, you know, the culture tends to think of denial as, oh, well, that didn't happen. But more specifically, what the definition that came in about that time is all kind of part and parcel of the same package, was that to deny is to think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of what's moving inside of me. And if I really watch my language, and every time that I talk about how that made me, or they made me, or he or she, or, you know, what have you, then I start catching my denial, then I realize I've got some work to do on what I've dissociated there. So when I say, yeah, well, you know, she really caused so much upset in my life, I'm in denial. I've just hidden, you know, when I use that language, she caused this in me, then what I've said to my mind is, mind, you're not allowed to tell me the truth about that anymore. We have to hide that real cause from me. And that's what creates an unconscious mind. And when you think, the estimate psychologists give, up to 98% of our thoughts are unconscious. It's like, how much are we hiding from ourselves? How much do we need to open and start to deal with? It's pretty profound.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this whole the whole awakening process to this, and the reveal of this truth, it's scary and startling to think that as an entire species, there's been a mass deception. And you know, I try not to get into the, you know, too much into that, but, you know, just thinking on the very edges of that, just the idea that we as an entire species have been taught and believe and carry within our genetic code in our cells, just complete misunderstanding of how to really deal with life and how to deal with each other. It's kind of mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. And actually there's a piece you've maybe heard me share it on the show before, but if not, this is, to me, is it addresses how mind-boggling it is what we've been hiding from ourselves. And this quote goes back to somewhere around 1700, and I'll just quickly read it. We're just about finished the show, but it's from a man named Francois Fenelon, and he was an archbishop back in the 1700s. And here's what he says. Here's somebody who's really about their work as opposed to church. And he says, as the light increases, we see ourselves to be worse than we thought. We are amazed at our former blindnesses as we see issuing forth from the depths of our heart a whole swarm of shameful feelings, like filthy reptiles crawling from a hidden cave. We never could have believed that we had harbored such things, and we stand aghast as we watch them gradually appear. He's describing people coming out of blockage of truth. But while our faults diminish, the light by which we see them waxes brighter, and we're filled with horror. Bear in mind, for your comfort, that we only perceive our malady when the cure begins. So people don't even fathom that there's anything like that in themselves. They can't believe it until they're ready to start doing their work. And then, you know, those generational patterns show up, and some of it's pretty crazy.
It is.
Well, we're down to the last few seconds, so maybe we can continue this conversation when you have the space again. Enjoy it, and I'll get that mind shifter sent to you. In the meantime, everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.